Today's scripture reading is Luke 1, 5 to 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, his wife, Elizabeth, who also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn the incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or any fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am old, and my wife is well along in her years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my word, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but was unable to speak. When the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said, "and this day he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among his people." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we thank you for coming on this busy day. Lots going on. And so when lots is going on, it's a little hard to stay focused. So here we are for 15 or minutes or so. We're going to try to look at this scripture and not be distracted too much. This is the second week of Advent. First Sunday of December, we start thinking more and more in terms of the Christmas story and what it means for us. God's longing for humankind. One of the traditions when I was growing up was watching the movie Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge. But it was the one particular that my mother really loved, and it was an English production. And Scrooge had kind of crazy white hair. I forget the actor at this point, but it always comes on, still comes on every year. Tells the story of Scrooge, who is, you know, a miserly old man, runs a business. He has an employee, Bob Cratchit, doesn't treat him very well. An old partner shows up in a dream, Bob Marley. I think his name, is it Bob Marley, or is that a singer? Robert Marley, maybe. Or maybe it's Morley.
No, it's Marley.
It's Marley, all right. See, thank you. I got something right there. What was his first name?
Bob.
Wow. Jacob, all right. Yeah, I want interaction here, okay. I knew that all along, but I wanted a little bit of feedback. Jacob, woo, yeah, he's the man. Anyway, he shows up as a ghost, tells Ebenezer that he's going to have a dream tonight, and three ghosts are going to appear, and it's Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future, and Jacob is after him to, "Hey man, you still have a bit of time to turn it around, don't be like me, get your act together. Show a little kindness." We used to sing a song, "Show a little try, show a try a little kindness, show a little love." That's what Jacob is saying. So we have three ghosts, the past, the present, and future. And the reality, I think, is that for all of our Christmases, we have this mixture of the past, the present, and the future. We don't just come to this Christmas, this December 25, with what's happening right now in our lives. We have all the stuff that's been loaded for you and for me from the past, what's going on now, sure, and what we anticipate in the future. I remember as a kid, I don't know why I was like this, but when I was a little, 5, 6, 7, I may have told this story sometime, but whatever my mother bought, I didn't like. Whatever she got me for Christmas, I just didn't like it. It would never quite, I didn't know what was coming, right? I didn't even really know it was my mom. I thought it was sort of Santa or somebody was bringing me these presents. And I was always disappointed. Can you imagine? I was so disappointed. And my mother, who was always buying the gifts, would, Christmas morning, she would say, "Do you like this?" And I'd say, "No, I don't like this." And she would say, "But I work so hard." Well, you know, whatever. But Santa worked so hard, I don't know. I knew it was from her. And I was always disappointed. And it really brought my mother down because it takes a lot of effort. Parents, you know how to do all that. This little kid is always saying, "I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like it." Somewhere along the line, I was right in that age, and I realized this Christmas, I'm not doing that. This Christmas, whatever she gives me, I'm going to say, I love it, even if I don't like it. And I remember saying that to my mom. She says, "Really? You really like it?" And she just lit right up. Can you imagine? And so that little memory is pretty loaded for me. It's loaded of sadness because of the disappointment for her, and then also a little bit of joy as I remember, but you can, you know, you turn it around and you change, and it made her smile. So we all have these kinds of feelings. And so it's a bit of a challenge when we come back to Advent season and Christmas, because we're bringing all this stuff. So I don't know your experience right now. You may be kind of down, disappointed for some reason. You may be feeling pretty up. We got 3 weeks or so, you know, we're going to be hearing Christmas carols and everything else. We got to get our heads in the game somewhere, right? And what does that say to us? So we come to a well-known story. This is known as one of the Annunciation stories, where the angel comes to Zechariah, the Annunciation of John the Baptist's birth. So it's a story you know well. Let's see what we can reflect on a little bit about it. I won't take the time to read all the text, but there it is for us. So the story is about Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth is of the line of Aaron, the great high priest. So she's in the lineage of the priesthood. And Zechariah is a priest serving in the temple. So they're both in that family tree. It was a bit unusual, actually. And so Zechariah is serving. There were many, many priests because everybody in the tribe of Aaron were priests. And so there were so many priests that they would be on duty at different times. So Zechariah would only be on 2 weeks a year. And so he's on at this time. And he is chosen by lot so that he can go in and burn the incense. This was a very privileged move. Lots of priests served their whole lifetime and never got to go into the Holy of Holies to light the incense. So this was a big deal for him. But in the midst of it all, we have the reality that Elizabeth is barren, that they can't have children, and they are already getting on in age. And this is a great sorrow. In the first century, it was considered a judgment from God if you weren't able to have children. And so there's a lot of sadness going on in this piece. So Zechariah, see, he gets to go in to light the incense. This is a great privilege. There's joy on that hand. But there's also the pain that he's carrying because they can't have kids. And this is a topic of discussion for them. But they're both in the family of Aaron. And we're told that they're devout followers of God. And so I think maybe they feel a little bit that life is unfair. So the story begins, this essentially happy story, really, ultimately, but it's shaped in barrenness, in pain at some level, and also feeling that life is unfair. And so we can come this morning, and I bet you that there's all those feelings are going on. Some are joyful, some are feeling pain, and some are feeling that life is unfair. If you're going to Ways every week and you're picking up food, you may be feeling a little bit, you know what, life's a bit unfair. Why do I need to do this? Happy that I get the food. Happy that there's an organization to help us. But maybe feeling like, wow, I didn't think I'd be in this situation. I'd be needing to go to a food bank. So maybe there's some unfairness. Certainly lots of unfairness with work situations, with money situations. We all know it, right? This is the reality that they're carrying. This is the shape of what's going on in Zechariah's life and Elizabeth's life. So the story is set up that way. We have Gabriel now coming. He's unnamed at the beginning, but he comes and he makes this statement. He just shows up. Wow. Holy of Holies. Zechariah is in there all by himself now in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Temple was this massive building, a third of the size of the old Jerusalem. And the Holy of Holies in the Jewish tradition was the most holy place. And he's in there to light the incense, and all of a sudden this angel shows up. Later we were told that he's Gabriel. Wow. 500 years earlier, Gabriel showed up to Daniel when they were in exile. You can read that in Daniel 9:10. Same angel goes out, sent by God to deliver a message to Daniel, and now he's delivering a message to Zechariah. Twofold statement, don't be afraid, and your prayer is heard. So we know that the angels often say this word, don't be afraid. Part of it, I guess, is logical. They look pretty scary. If Gabriel showed up here right now, we might need to hear that message. It's all right. Don't freak out, Clifford, Natalie. Don't freak out, man, okay? It's okay. I'm Gabriel, but I'm a good guy. Don't be afraid. God's message for us all the time is do not be afraid. How we live in the house of fear, now one says. We live in that house of fear, and we're invited to live in the house of love. And the angel's saying, live in that house of love. And your prayer is heard. What prayer? Could be his prayer for Israel. He's a priest. They haven't had a prophet for 500 years. He may be thinking, man, this country needs to be shaken up. Or maybe it's the prayer for a child. For his wife. Your prayer is heard. Are our prayers heard? Peter Brown, my good friend, is starting chemo and starting radiation this week. Tuesday, we can be praying for him. For cancer. His prayers are, Lord, help me to be aware of your presence this day. That's it. No more than that. Help me be aware. No great illusions of how this is all going to work out for him. Just help me be aware. Pretty cool. Your prayers are heard. So this is Gabriel's message. And he goes on and he talks about the son who's going to be John the Baptist. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, Gabriel says. He will turn many towards God. It actually says he will turn many towards their God. They don't know him right now. Or at least they're not relating that way. But the text says God is their God. God is their God before the turning ever takes place. God is watching. Why? Because God longs and desires all of us, no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on, no matter if we're saying no to him, we're still his creatures. He's designed us. He's made us. He has a heart for us. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of Elijah. As I mentioned, there hasn't been a prophet for 500 years. Malachi was the last prophet, and he said, one will come who will be filled with the Spirit of Elijah. And this is this one. At one level, he is filled with the spirit of Elijah, Jesus says later about John the Baptist. He will make a people ready for their Lord. And so next week, we hear the second Annunciation story, which is to Mary, which is about Jesus. So this piece gets filled out. But John has a great work to do, and fundamentally, it's good news. It's a happy song. He will bring joy, Gabriel said. Quite lovely. Zechariah doesn't really get it. And he's filled with skepticism. That's pretty cool, man. I don't know where Zechariah's at, but he's brave anyway. He's courageous. If he can say to Gabriel, I mean not Gabriel, but his buddy. Yeah, it is Gabriel, right? Yeah. I'm thinking of Malachi, Micah, the other one. Michael. You can say to Gabriel, I don't think you're telling me the truth. He's got a bit of strength somewhere. He's got that. But he misses the point. Unbelief. He wants a sign. He wants to say, prove this to me. That's what essentially what he says. Prove this to me. This does not go over well with Gabriel. Gabriel says, hey man, I stand in the very presence of God. Do you know who I am? Now you're saying you don't believe? You want a sign? All right, Eleanor, I'm going to give you a sign. You can't talk for 9 months, man. And at the end of it, when it all happens, just like I said, you'll be able to speak. That's a pretty good sign, don't you think? Zechariah is probably going to get that one. All right. He comes out. To the people, he's supposed to give a benediction. He can't even say it. And 9 months later, the baby's born, and he can speak. Wow! Woo! Gabriel was right. His response is skepticism. You know, we live in a very skeptical age, don't we think? And we don't believe anything. Everything has to be so, has to be physical, has to be right in front of our eyes. We have to observe it. Dave Gelhardt works in the light business, and he was reminding me that the whole ban of light is enormous. It goes and goes and goes and goes. Just this little ban in the middle, just tiny, is what we see. But it's real. It goes X-rays, radio rays, what other kind of rays?
Gamma,
UV. See, man, it just goes and goes. We can't see any of those. All we see is this little bit. But we approach all of life like that. It's just what we see. We think everything else is unreal. But life is more profound than that. How skeptical we are, and we can be very skeptical about faith matters. Just say, I don't believe. I don't believe any of it, man. Believe any of it. Bonnie was seeing somebody recently. I won't say. I just saw somebody, and he was also passing away with cancer. Bonnie went forth to give him a little hug in the hospital room. And he says, get away from me, get away from me. Don't go into any of your prayers, man. Bonnie's a little shaken by that. Oh, okay. I was just actually going to give you a hug. But his response was, I don't want any of your prayers. You know, that's real. That's an honest response. But it shows a bit of our skeptical response. How we view life, man. I'm dying. I'm here in the hospital. I don't want to hear any of this other stuff. This is my reality right here. Gabriel gives the sign. In the aftermath of the Annunciation, Zechariah comes out. He can't speak, but he tells his wife later, and his wife's very, very happy. She's able to praise God. 4 points of application just briefly before we have communion together. And one is the whole story of Advent is about God's longing for us. That's the whole point. The whole point of this whole month when we think about the theme of the incarnation, God coming to dwell with us, is all about his desire for us. If he didn't long, he wouldn't bother. If he just said, man, this is so messed up, I'll go to the other zillion planets that are apparently just like the Earth and go talk to them. Give up on these people. But God desires, he has a longing for us, and he has a longing for you and for me. It's beautiful. Longing, he's the hound of heaven, as the poet said, seeking us out. And he comes, and he's determined to speak good news. Gabriel says, I come to Zechariah, I come to you with good news. And the word there is euangelizomai. It's I preach the gospel. It's just like whenever you see the gospel, the good news, and all the New Testament, it's that verb, I come to give you good news. And Jesus always comes, and God always comes to give us good news. It's never bad news. And we think, oh, if I align myself with God in some way, oh, I'll lose out on what life's about. I'll miss out on all the fun. I don't want to do that. As if it's bad news. It ain't bad news. It's good news. God comes to us, Abba comes to us in Christ with good news. It's always good news. It's not bad news. Our culture wants to maybe make it bad news. Part of ourselves wants to make it bad news because we want to stay unattached. We want to stay controlled in our own heart and mind, our way, my way. So God longs for us. He comes with good news. And he comes, thirdly, in our own reality, which is always this mixture of pain and joy. I'm joyful on one hand, and I'm full of pain on the other. And so are you. Somewhere there's some pain. Somewhere there's some joy. And I am called to know that God is present in both. He's present in my pain. He's present in my joy. You can have cancer. You might only have 3 months to live. God is present with you in your pain in that moment. That's the good news. That's God's longing. And finally, we see that God shows up in the normalcy of life, just in the normal things. Note, he appears to Zechariah, who's a priest, going into the temple. That's what priests do, man. He's got this special place to go in the Holy of Holies today, but that's part of his work. It's just part of his regular routine. And God shows up in our regular routine if we have eyes to see him. So Brother Lawrence said years ago, what do? I cast my glance towards him. In the midst of washing dishes, he was working in the kitchen, I would cast my glance upward to him. That's about all we can do. Cast my glance. I can live in myself in my own restricted little bubble, or I can open up and say, God, speak to me in some way. Reveal yourself to me in my normal day, my day, your day, this day, food drive day. You're out and picking up food. You're going to be putting food in different boxes and so on. The mayor is going to be here. How cool is that? That's great. It's our day. And God will show up in our day, in your day, if you have the eyes to see it. If you shut down, God's not going to force your hand. Gerald May says, I close with this, if God revealed himself in his great power, if God just blew us away, forget Gabriel, God shows up, what would happen? We would all fall down. We would be blown away. Scripture says if God did that, we would die. So God never comes that way to us. It's always the whisper. It's always the little thing. If he showed up so powerfully, we wouldn't be able to handle it. And the other thing is, if he showed up that way, even if we survived, we would follow him just out of fear. We'd follow him because of awe. God wants us to follow him out of love. Out of love. I want to know him. A little whisper. I want more of that. I want to hear him. I want to know him. I want to follow that. That's up to you and me. So will we give ourselves to him in that way? This week, the furtive glance, the little glance, say, God, show up. You show up, God shows up. That's our challenge for this week.